Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquez and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
Give you just a little bit about all sports just so that you could just taste it and just want to spend your weekend doing nothing but talking and doing sports. My name is Al Marquez, El Presidente. 917-889-8516 is the number to join us on this Father's Day weekend. Happy Father's Day to all you fathers, grandfathers, and father figures, if you will. So glad that you guys could join us today. This show's dedicated to all the daddies. So who's your daddy today? Get out there, get you some brew, get some steaks. And also, it's a good weekend to go racing up in Michigan. We're going to have Roger Curtis, president of Michigan International Speedway, friend of the show here, on talking about the Quicken Loans 400 going to be going on up there in Michigan. Unfortunately, we weren't able to be up there, but I know Radio Speed Talk's up there, and Kenny Barr from Radio Speed Talk isn't there, but he is going to be joining us here in just a moment, and we're waiting for Roger to give us a call here in just a moment. And then we're going to be, after that, we're going to talk a little bit about, well, more than a little bit, we're going to talk about Jason Leffler, the sad passing of Jason Leffler, and a man who loved to race and a man who was loved by racers. And so we're going to talk with Kenny about the passing of Jason Leffler. And also, we'll break down the Quicken Loans 400. And if we got some time, we'll talk a little bit of IndyCar. And then we're going to talk, how about them Hoosiers? That's right, headed to Omaha, Nebraska. They start the World College World Series today. First time it's ever happened. IU is now known as a baseball school, too. Jimmy the intern is going to join us and talk with us about them and what all they've got in store coming up here in the College World Series. We're going to take a quick break. We get back, we should have Roger Curtis, president of Michigan International Speedway, on the line with us talking about the Father's Day race they do every year right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Said, son, you're going to drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that hot rod Lincoln.
Tired of hearing the same old racing shows? Why listen to the same boring results with mundane robotic ticks?
Try Speed Talk. We're not your father's racing show.
We cover all racing with an edge. Join the menage a trois of opinions, both crazy and legit.
Check us out at RadioSpeedTalk.com, The Balance, and other local affiliates.
We cover national and local racing venues.
We include great interviews and occasionally throw in some history lessons.
That is Do You Know, Kenny.
Speed Talk, where entertainment is always a guarantee.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. Do you have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Welcome back, my minions. Welcome back to The Balance. It's Saturday morning, the number one internet sports talk show in the world, along with our affiliate radio stations. And we welcome our friends from over at Indiana Talks as well. Well, joining us is two of my favorite people to talk to every week. If I could talk to both of these every week, I would do that. One being Mr. Kenny Barr of Radio Speed Talk, and the other, Mr. Roger Curtis. Is this Roger? Are you with us, sir?
It is. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to The Balance, Roger. And I know you've got a very busy weekend. It is Father's Day weekend, and it's a great day to be out at the track. And also joining us is Mr. Kenny Barr. Kenny, you're out in Texas, though, aren't you?
Yeah, right in the middle of Central Texas, Caparis Cove, Texas. And hey, Roger, I want one of them Uncle Sam hats I saw on your pictures on Twitter last night.
Well, wait till you see the Elvis pictures from the campground last night.
I perused them, but everybody knows you're Elvis, so that's kind of a dead giveaway. But I haven't seen the Uncle Sam thing yet, so I thought that was kind of cool. You change IDs, you know, roll through the campground.
Roger Curtis, go ahead, Roger. I'm sorry.
I just say we just love to go out and have fun with the fans. I mean, that's why we're here, to create memories for these folks that have chosen to come out here. And, you know, it's a sport, and sometimes I know it's a business. We're a publicly traded company and all, but having fun, I think, drives the bottom line.
Joining us is Mr. Roger Curtis, president of Michigan International Speedway. Good friend of the show, good friend of Radio Speed Talk. We love the track up there at Michigan International Speedway. Of course, IMS comes first, but no, I'm just kidding. And then Michigan International Raceway. I wish I could be up there this weekend. We had a lot of things come together at one time, and we were not able to be up there this weekend. I know Clifton is up there as well. And an exciting weekend you've got going on, Father's Day weekend. Talk with us a little bit about what's going on at the Michigan International Raceway this weekend.
Well, I got to start with the weather. I'm standing out here in one of the campgrounds right now, and it is absolutely gorgeous. Temperature, sun, perfect. And may get some showers overnight, but it looks like tomorrow's going to be awesome too, so definitely not too late to head up and catch the nationwide race today, which should be a good one. That goes off the Alliance Truck Parts 250 at 2 o'clock today. And then tomorrow, man, these speeds are just unbelievable. We had a pole, wasn't a record, but it was still 202 yesterday for the Quicken Loans 400. Carl Edwards, the new Gen 6 car, was a harder tire. It was the tire they ran here in August last year, but because of that downforce on the new car, I mean, he still put off a blazing lap. A lot of guys over 200 miles an hour, so it's going to be a heck of a race tomorrow.
And I love Michigan International Speed. Obviously, we saw some of the fastest races speeds up there last year, and that is one place where a NASCAR driver could go fast. Obviously, Dale Earnhardt made it happen. I hope the rain can hold off. That wasn't the case last year, but hopefully the rain can hold off for you this weekend. Kenny, what do you have for Roger?
Oh, I just have to echo Roger's sentiments. I wish I was there, but I'm hanging with the grandkids in Texas, so I got the next best thing going on. And it's just going to be a wild race. I mean, I think it's 7, 8, 9 guys over 200. There's going to be – and a couple guys that you didn't expect, and Austin Dillon and Allmendinger are up there in the top 10 qualifying. So it's going to be an interesting start of the race. Strategies will play out a little bit different, I think, this year with a harder tire. I was hoping they'd bring the same tire, but with the more downforce, I think Roger's dead on with that. They better get a little tire that holds up to the blistering a little bit, because 200 mile an hour and a little bitty bubble in a tire can cause a big problem that nobody really wants
to
see.
Yeah, and so, you know, that's the average speed, that 203. They're hauling off into turn one at about 225, so you don't want to mess around with blistered tires at 225 going to that wall.
Yep.
Well, it's
going to be a great race.
It's definitely going to be a great race, and it's always good to watch the nationwide race and the NASCAR race. Obviously, sprint car practice starts at 9:35, and then nationwide series qualifying starts at 10:30. Roger, I know we only got you for just a limited amount of time, and I do want to get your thoughts, the passing of Jason Leffler, thoughts about him, and does Michigan International Speedway have anything special planned for Sunday's race to remember Jason Leffler?
Well, I mean, first of all, it's tragic. I mean, you know, you just don't expect these things to happen in motorsports anymore. I mean, all the different sanctioning bodies have done such a great job with safety, and you know, Jason was not in a NASCAR sanctioned event, but still, I mean, sprint cars are pretty good, pretty sturdy anymore, and it's just a one in a million hit, you know, and it's very, very sad. He's a great guy, great family, very sad there. I mean, the garage is definitely mourning the loss of a good guy. So we're working with NASCAR on some tributes. You know, I know all the drivers in both series running today and tomorrow are going to have a special sticker on their car, and we'll certainly have some moments of silence before the races today and tomorrow. So, you know, we'll see what else NASCAR and our team can come up with, but very, very sad. You know, just you don't expect these things in motorsports, and I guess it still shows you we as race fans get really complacent watching these things on TV or live in person, and it's still a very dangerous sport.
Roger Curtis, president of Michigan International Speedway, joining us on the eve of the Quicken Loans 400 and obviously the big nationwide race happening. Great place to be for Father's Day weekend. And I'll get to you here in just a minute, Kenny, with Roger. But one of the things I wanted to address with you, Roger, is we saw this take place up here in Indianapolis around the Indianapolis 500 is – really kind of a big change in security measures after the events that happened in Boston. What are some of the new security measures that fans can expect out there at Michigan? Is there anything new? I know there's some things you can talk about, some things you can't talk about, but talk with us about the security plan in place for this weekend.
Yeah, I can't divulge all of our secrets, guys. I mean, come on.
We know you're out there with a pair of binoculars looking, say, hey, I see a guy with a beer. I want that beer.
No, we felt like we had some pretty tight security up here to begin with. We met with all of our federal, state, and local law enforcement folks about a month ago. We got out here, did some training exercises. We've got an emergency command center here that everybody who has any jurisdiction is in that center. They have a representative in there, and some people are going to see some very obvious things this weekend, and like you said, there's going to be some things that aren't so obvious, but I'm really proud of our team, and heck, I mean, you're talking about security. We've even got the National Weather Service. Fortunately, we aren't going to need them this weekend, but you know, you just in the summertime in the Midwest, we started bringing in a Weather Service person about two and a half years ago or so. So they're part of the command center as well. So I think we're in pretty good shape as far as security. But, you know, it's kind of like what we were just talking about with racing. You can't become complacent. You always got to keep thinking and try and stay one step ahead.
Kenny Barr, Kenny, you're out in Texas. Is it race-related or is it just a vacation?
Well, it's just a vacation, but there's a little quarter-mile dirt track that we're going to – try to get to. We got a dance recital at noon today, and then we're going to go try and see this place called Texas Thunder Speedway, which I've been to once before, and I couldn't get the promoter to talk to me because he was a busy dude. So we're going to try it again, but we're going to take a little bit of dirt track action later tonight.
Well, I think Roger would love to trade places, busy schedules with the quarter mile track promotions and his. I think that maybe the schedule they would love to trade schedules there. But Kenny, go ahead. What do you got from Roger?
Oh, not much. Oh, I know. Yeah, if you find Cliff, give him a hard time for me, will you?
Well, absolutely. That's not a problem to do that.
Well, let's talk a little bit about anything else that you would like to bring to our attention. I know we've got you for a very limited amount of time, and this is a big weekend for you, and we were certainly respectful of that time, and we love you coming on the show here. Obviously, you're a fellow Hoosier, and we love you being on the show with us, and of course, now we're on Indiana Talks. We're all over the state of Indiana as well as nationwide, so anything that you would like to say, obviously, it's just a short hop and skip and a jump up to your track from Indianapolis, so certainly a lot of our fans can make it up there for tomorrow's race. Tickets available. Is there anything they need to know coming up there? Anything that we haven't talked about?
Well, just if you haven't been in a while, the traffic is absolutely amazing. We've got that nailed down thanks to the state police and the Department of Transportation up here. So traffic is probably one of the best in NASCAR now. Tickets are very inexpensive. They start as low as $30. If you want to bring the kids for Father's Day, kids 12 and under are free. So it's a great experience up here. We've invested a lot of money, about $75 million in the facility to upgrade it over the last few years. You're going to have a tremendous fan experience. I mean, everyone here is just so appreciative that fans choose to come see the races here at MIS, and I can guarantee you it's going to be like going to Disneyland. So we would love to see some more Hoosiers up here tomorrow. Like you said, it's a very short skip and a hop up here, and the racing, it's so wide open. I mean, we had great races last year, and I just thought, how could we top that with Junior and Biffle? We had, 26, 30 lead changes, a lot of 13, 14 different leaders. It was almost like the Indianapolis 500. And, now here's this Gen 6 car comes along, and like you guys said, we got some names up there. It's like, what? So I think this field for the Quicken Loans 400 is wide open. So if you can't make it, I would definitely watch it or listen to it on the radio. It's going to be awesome.
Well, definitely one thing for sure is if you like side-by-side racing, Michigan International Raceway is the place to be, and I loved being up there last year, and when we did finally get a chance to get to racing last year, I loved being up on top of the media center. That is an incredible view out there at Michigan International Speedway. So does Dale Jr. have an encore in place this weekend? Who's your pick, Roger?
Well, I was actually thinking about Dale until I saw this qualifying yesterday, and I don't know. It's just going to be crazy, the number of drivers I think that can win this. So, I'm going to go out on a limb here a little bit. I'm going to say Kevin Harvick.
All right, Kevin Harvick, the official pick from Roger Curtis. Well, Roger, we know you're very, very active on social media. Where can people follow you, stalk you, or whatever on social media?
they can follow me at MIS Roger, and like you said, we have a lot of fun on there. I love communicating with the fans. I'm a race fan, too, and we're a special breed, aren't we, guys?
Absolutely, absolutely. Roger, we appreciate it. And you don't have to have a race going on to be on this show. You can call any time that you want.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. You guys do such a terrific job for the fans out there. And I always love coming on, so I may take you up on that sometime down the road.
Sounds good. Roger Curtis, president of Michigan International Raceway, joining us, talking about the Quicken Loans 400 Father's Day weekend up there. We're going to take a quick break, and Kenny and I will be back. We're going to talk about the passing of Jason Leffler, and of course, the breakdown of the Quicken Loans 400 right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Daddy's belt, mama's drapes, standing tall in the backyard shed looking cool in my Superman cape. I told the neighborhood girl, said, hey y'all, watch this. My fate was a broken arm and my reward.
Wow, did you see that nice set on her?
Yeah, I sure did.
Guys? Hello?
Nothing like a fresh set of rubber speeding down the backstretch.
Man, you gotta love the smells of racing.
Speed Talk. That's what you'll get with this crew.
Check us out, RadioSpeedTalk.com.
Speed Talk, where you can hear all about all genres of racing. We'll include great interviews and opinions. Catch the gang on your local affiliate. Checks for times and listings.
Check out all there is to know at RadioSpeedTalk.com.
Head in the game. My name is Turbo. I just wanted to go a little faster.
Yes! 17 minutes! That's a new record!
Let's go, people! Pick it up!
Put all that racing nonsense behind you and start living your life!
I have a life?
I wish I was fast.
Ah.
kidding? I'm never going slow again.
This must be my lucky day.
A little far from home, aren't you? Garden snail.
You clearly got the skills to pay the bills. If snails had to pay bills, that is. I'm Whiplash. This is my crew.
I'm fast, like a shadow.
But shadows, they're not inherently fast.
What shadow?
I can still see you.
With my brains and your speed, we should be destined for greatness.
The Indy 500.
This is ridiculous.
A snail cannot race in a competition meant for cars.
Wow. Aren't you just a little ray of sunshine? All of these people, they believe in me.
Those guys are crazy.
Those guys are awesome.
I'm moving so fast, the whole world's going in slow motion, baby.
Whoa. If you think that's something, check this out.
Hey, you a robot?
Are you radioactive, homie?
Ooh, that's a new one.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it off.
Fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Ooh. All right, welcome back to The Balance. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. It's Saturday morning, it's Father's Day weekend. Happy Father's Day, my fathers. This is your weekend. Get out there and make the missus mow the lawn, do the weed eating. Well, don't let her do the cooking. Still get out there on the grill. There's something about cooking on Father's Day weekend on the grill. Absolutely. So, kids, tell your papas you love them, you appreciate them, and then ask them for $100. Mr. Kitty Barr out
hey.
In Texas. How you doing, sir? How you doing?
I'm doing great. Sitting here on the front porch, it's, I don't know, 75 degrees or so. Got two grandkids that might be making a little noise in the background, but that is perfectly good with me.
Hey, I tell my son all the time, the only reason I had him was to have a granddaughter. So I totally understand that and appreciate that. What fun it was to have Roger Curtis, president of Michigan International Speedway, on the air with us. Obviously, good friend of the show, good friend of you guys, and a good opportunity to talk with him about the Quicken Loans 400. So real quickly, and certainly we want to get into this talk about Jason Loeffler, but what are your thoughts about Michigan this weekend? What are some of the things you're looking for, and what can we see? Obviously, we know we're going to see fast speeds out there in Michigan. In my opinion, it's probably one of the fastest tracks in the NASCAR series.
Well, it is officially the fastest track in NASCAR. You don't have restrictor plates up there yet. I've heard rumblings, but not many, that they're thinking about doing that there, and then you'll end up with artificial racing. And then you don't let everybody runs in a big fat pack. So it's going to be interesting. They brought a little bit different tire because of the Gen 6 car. The Gen 6 car handles a little bit better. We've seen some fantastic finishes with that car. The tires got a little bit harder, so the fuel window is going to be about the same. We'll see how the tires hold up. I don't think the weather's supposed to be god-awfully nasty hot tomorrow. I think it's supposed to be about the same as it is today. So we'll get to see tire wear issues, and if there are any, in the nationwide race today. And I don't put a lot of stock in qualifying and who qualifies in what order and stuff. The qualifying speeds until you get down to about the number 10 car or so are all pretty good, and then they drop off fairly fast. So you've got 20 to 25 cars in this race, any one of them who can win this thing with a little bit of a break, a little luck, a little pit strategy. So it's just going to be a wild race. There's always walk-up tickets to be bought. So if you get this sudden urge to jump in the car from Indianapolis and run to Michigan, I guarantee you get a good seat. And you can see that racetrack, the whole track from just about anywhere you sit, unless you sit like down super-duper low somewhere. The tickets are amazingly reasonable. Roger's right, the traffic problem that plagued that place in the 70s and 80s is literally gone. It's not there anymore. And it's just amazingly fan-friendly. They added 4 Wi-Fi hotspots. They got an app, so if you get up there and you got your iPhone or your what is the other one? The other Verizon. I only use an iPhone because it works so well. But it, yeah, there's an app that if you don't know where the bathrooms are or your seats are or what have you, you can look that up. They got redone restrooms. They got trams that get you back and forth from the campgrounds to the racetrack. But they just they've done so many things that are fan friendly compared to everybody else. It's just you got to go and check it out. It's just an amazing experience and weekend.
Absolutely, and like I said, I wish that we had an opportunity to get up there this weekend. It's just a lot going on here on the home front, and we weren't able to make it. Cliff was up there. I talked with him yesterday. I know he's on his way up there yesterday. I guess maybe he's probably on his way up there now, or if he's not there now. But Cliff, if you're listening, we're envious. At least I am. I don't know so much about Kenny. I think Kenny's perfectly content being there where he's at. Of course, last year we know that Kenny was there for the pre-race, but ended up making it home in time to watch it on television because he said this rain never going to let up. This rain ain't ever going to let up.
That was funny. We got a whole bunch, an hour and a half of Claire B. Lang on the way home, and then I literally walked in the house and they were on lap 10. So I jumped in the easy chair and watched the race from the best seat in the house.
I love it. And, you know, you were talking about the traffic and everything. It is not bad. And I had been there before. We had Michelle, our social media director, producer, with us last year. And I said, just be prepared for some traffic. We drove up from Ann Arbor and, not bad at all. In fact, it's a nice little drive from Ann Arbor. You go through all these little towns, and they're out, got all their checkered flags going and so forth. Great, great track. Well, unfortunately, we've got to shift gears a little bit here. As we know, this past week, we lost a very good racer, a good racer's friend, 37-year-old Jason Leffler. Obviously, 2-time winner of the Nationwide Series, was pronounced dead shortly after 9 p.m., according to the New Jersey State Police. And that happened out at Bridgeport Speedway, which is a 5/8 mile high-banked dirt oval. And the thing about it, even though he finished last, he was able to race it last Sunday in Pocono in his first NASCAR Sprint Cup start of the year. Certainly, a lot of people know who Jason Leffler is, but a lot of people don't know who Jason Leffler is. But I will say this, and in a moment I will read a little bit from a press release from Indianapolis Motor Speedway about Jason Leffler. But as we know, he won right here in Indianapolis at back then it was the O'Reilly Raceway Park. He won here in Indiana. So, Kenny, let's talk about Jason Leffler, his life, his legacy, and what he contributed to racing.
Well, Jason Leffler was another one of these guys that just didn't catch quite the right break to hook onto NASCAR on a more permanent basis. He just never got hooked up with the right team or the right money or the right sponsor. He had plenty of talent. He was a national midget racing champ for about 4 or 5 years. He won the Silver Crown Championship. Ran around the World of Outlaws, ran sprint cars, drove just about anything that you put him in, and he was strong and competitive, extremely well-liked in pit areas and stuff. Although when somebody passed away, hardly anybody says anything bad, but before then, you never heard him caught up in any controversies. He didn't have helmets thrown at him. He wasn't getting some sissy fight slapping match on the racetrack or anything with people. I mean, Jason got along with everybody and raced everybody pretty clean. As a rule, racing is racing. I mean, Ernest Hemingway once said that there's only 3 real sports in this world, and it's bullfighting, mountain climbing, and auto racing, and everything else is just a game. And I couldn't agree more. And I reread that over the week or through the week here, because auto racing itself, along with bullfighting and mountain climbing, take the participants to the edge, and sometimes beyond the edge of danger, the edge of death. You know, race car drivers constantly look over their shoulder and look death right in the eye and say, "No, not me today, buddy." You know, and away they go and they do what they do and stuff. And Jason was the same way. He would didn't want to do anything else. He didn't land a good ride in any one of the big three series, so he was out sprint car racing where he came from, and something simply broke on the car. I actually hit the wall a couple times. According to the autopsy report, he died of blunt force trauma to the neck, which I think in layman's terms, I think it broke his neck. He did have a Honda device on. It was a Simpson hybrid, which is approved by NASCAR and everybody else in the country and stuff. So he had all his safety gear in place, and it's just like Roger said a few minutes ago, just a one in a million hit. It happens. There's three or four sprint car deaths already this year. And sprint cars themselves, Tom, are probably pound for pound the orneriest animals out there. I mean, some of those motors go 910 horsepower. 910 horsepower. You know, that's 150 to 200 horsepower more than a NASCAR car, folks. And it's only 1,400 pounds, and you put them on dirt that don't have much of a grip, and then you put this great big wing on top to push the thing down and shove it around and stuff. They put on a terrific show, but they're also probably the most dangerous thing you can drive and stuff. So it's sad. It happens. You get pretty melancholy for a while. I think the people in Bridgeport did the right thing and just called the show off.
Sure.
I've been to a couple racetracks that guys were killed at, and they didn't. And it was just an amazingly sad, blue, melancholy day. Nobody wanted to be there anymore after that. So I think they did a good job calling the show, too.
Right, absolutely. And we love the little sprint cars, and I say little sprint cars because they're in comparison to NASCAR. And we know, obviously, Tony Stewart, Ryan Newman, a lot of drivers still drive, own sprint cars, and a lot of NASCAR drivers particularly come up from the Sprint Cup and the Silver Crown Series and, you know, the USAC and all of those different cars. And, you know, it was a tragic death. And IMS issued this statement on Wednesday, June 12, 2013. And I'm just going to read this. A statement from Indianapolis Motor Speedway Chief Operating Officer J. Douglas Bowles about the death of driver Jason Leffler from injuries suffered in a sprint car race June 12th at Bridgeport, at Bridgeport Speedway in Swedesboro, New Jersey. We are very saddened after the passing of Jason Leffler. He was one of the most versatile race drivers in America, showing his talent by competing in the Indianapolis 500 and Brickyard 400 at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. During his career, he also displayed the skills that would help him reach the top levels of the sport by winning four USAC National Series titles while winning on tracks throughout the Midwest. Jason was a terrific guy who always had time for everyone. Our deepest sympathies are extended to his entire family, team, and fans. Leffler, 37, competed in the Indianapolis 500 in 2000, the Brickyard 400 Sprint Cup Series in 2001, 2003, 2004, 2005, and 2008. I had an opportunity a few years back to meet Jason out at what is now Lucas Oil Raceway. At that point, it was still O'Reilly, and that sums it up. I think anybody that's had an opportunity, I don't know if you have, Kenny, ever had the opportunity to talk with Jason. He was just a good down-to-earth guy. I think he had the nickname Lefty Lefter or Left Turn Lefter Leffler or something like that. And so Left Turn. So, and of course, he leaves behind his son Charlie, as well. So, when we look at the situations like this, we always want to say, "Okay, let's start looking at safety." And you know, we pay a lot of attention to the safety on the NASCAR level, obviously the IndyCar level, and some of the higher levels. How much? In as far as safety goes, obviously they take it very seriously. But do you think that the sprint car series will take anything from this tragedy and look at their cars to make them safer, or just one of those freak things that happen when you're a racer?
Well, of course they're going to take a look at them, see if there's anything they can do. But I looked at that car. There's only a couple pictures of it out there. And the first one I saw, it looked like it was wadded up in a ball. which made me worry about the materials and the craftsmanship of building the car. But then I got another angle of it, and the car body and the cockpit itself looks to be fairly intact. The wing is all wadded up and shoved onto the front of the car, and the back capsule where the fuel tank is back there is knocked south a little bit, knocked down a little bit. But the cage looks to be in pretty good shape. So I don't know that this there's a lot you can do to change the safety of sprint cars. Sprint cars notoriously have been the most I'm trying to figure out how to be politically correct here. More people were killed in sprint cars than any other race cars over the years because they have been the most dangerous. And they have, you know, they've built these cages around the top now where they used to just be an open cockpit. If you flipped over, you were a goner. They've got tethers that hang onto the guy's arms. So if you do get crossways or start flipping or doing one of those dramatic bear rolls that they do, your arms don't go flailing out. You got the Hans device and stuff now. And how many times on Speed Channel on the weekends when you watch either Adam Alexander show, or Dave Despain show, either one of them that go back-to-back on Speed on Sunday night, they'll show you somebody did this fantastic end-over-end barrel roll, twist in midair, half-gainer, flippity-flop, bang in a sprint car and get out and walk away. Happens all the time. I mean, so these things have come a long way over the years. And of course, they're going to take a look and see if there's anything better they can do. But I think Roger called this. I think this is one of them freakazoid one in a million hits.
Sure.
There's been, that I know of, and I don't want to follow the morbidity of death by any stretch of the imagination, but I know there was an accident in Marysville, California, where a steering mechanism broke and a sprint car went shooting into the pits and killed a couple guys in the pits. One of them was a cousin of the driver, which just a terrible deal. And then right in your neighborhood in May, there was a sprint car driver killed, less named Burton, down in Bloomington.
Right.
When something broke in the car, and he took a heck of a tumble and stuff. So in sprint cars, it happens. You don't want it to. The participants and the fans all know what they're getting into. And like I said earlier, I mean, they look at death in the eye and say, not me today, baby, and away they go. So it's part of the appeal to the sport.
Right.
It's very unfortunate, and again, you know, I'm getting just kind of bummed out talking about it, actually.
Sure. Well, we're going to move on here, and you know, it's a sad thing, and Jason Leffler is going to be missed immensely. And to recap, Leffler was this happened, I believe, on Tuesday night. Leffler was running in second place.
I've got to go for a couple minutes. I'll call you back, okay?
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, thanks.
Kenny Barr, Radio Speed Talk, and he'll rejoin us here in just a moment. You know, it's rough, and, you know, Kenny has been around racing for many, many years, and when we talk about things like this, it is rough, and it, you know, it's unfortunate that we do have to talk about things like this, especially about such a great guy like Jason Leffler. Again, he was running in second place in the first heat race of the program at the 5/8 mile High Bank Dirt Oval when his car flipped several times on the front straightaway. Jason Leffler, a two-time winner of the Nationwide Series, was 37. Again, leaves behind a five-year-old son, Charlie. We're going to take a break, and we're going to regroup. And when we get back, hopefully we'll have Kenny Barr back on the line with us, and we're going to talk a little bit of IndyCar and more about the Quicken Loans 400 up at the Michigan International Raceway. Jason Leffler out in front. Mike Wallace is second.
Watch this side-by-side battle. Harvick and Leffler for 11th.
They're just beating and banging herself all through these corners. Look at this. He's trying to push them off. Damage on the left front of Jason Leffler's car.
Yeah, give a call to Jason Leffler and Eddie Pardue. Leffler started back in 18th spot on the track, which was very hard to pass. He is now knocking on the door in the top nine, running in 10th position.
Native of Long Beach, California, just
Series race. He leads the champion.
Comes out of turn number four in the NBNA Armed Forces Family 200 champion. Crosses the start-finish line.
Leans on him. Gets loose. Still, can he hold on? Leffler may be able to clear him. Coming out of two. He does.
He could be waving goodbye to him right now.
He will get his first win here at O'Reilly Raceway Park, and he will be the man that delivers Toyota its first victory in the NASCAR Bus Series. There it is. The checkers.
Great job. Everybody, good call, Lizzie. Good call. Everybody, help. That's the deal.
You guys, man. Good job, Losey. You deserve this one. We're going to victory lane. Great job.
He is Twitterless Tom Wolf.
He is Toyota
Kenny Barr.
And that is Snapless Cliff Tanner.
Together, we're the team of Speed Talk. And although our limited social skills may be lacking,
our racing knowledge and opinions are not.
If you want to know about local and national racing, go check us out at RadioSpeedTalk.com.
While you're at it,
catch us on The Balance and other local affiliates.
Speed Talk, where most shows don't even dare to tread.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
General Zod. I have journeyed across an ocean of stars to reach you. Your world has sheltered one of my citizens. He will look like you, but he is not one of you. To those of you who know of his location, the fate of your planet rests in your hands. To Kal-El, I say this. Surrender within 24 hours, or watch this world suffer the consequences.
You will not win. Forever you and you say. We will kill a million more.
I won't betray them. You already have.
Welcome back to The Balance. A little bit of Dave Matthews Alligator Pie. That's right, getting geared up for Dave Matthews next weekend here in Indianapolis. Yeah, I know it has nothing to do with sports. I'm just a diehard Dave Matthews fan. Going to be headed out there it's now called Calypse, I guess, Music Center. It's been called different names. Nothing like watching Dave Matthews out in the open air. Dave Matthews. Let's give us a little bit of alligator vibe. The devil was a million left on the All right, Jay Matthews, a little bit of alligator pie. Let's get a little bit of NASCAR pie. Kenny Barr is going to try and get back with us here in just a few minutes. I am communicating with him. He's also had some other issues that's unexpectedly pop up that he's going to take care of. And hopefully we'll get him back here in just a moment. So glad you guys could join us today. We had Roger Curtis, president of the Michigan International Raceway, on. Talking about the Quicken Loans Father's Day weekend race up there in Michigan International Speedway. I tell you what, it is an easy, easy drive up there. And I just wish that I could be up there this weekend. That is a fantastic track to be at. And as you heard Kenny say, no restrictor plate. So if you like speed and you like side-by-side racing, get on up there to the Michigan International Speedway. You can head out now, find the camping spots, and you may not catch the nationwide race unless you're like in Fort Wayne or something. But if you're here in the Indianapolis metro market, you definitely have time to get there for the Quicken Loans 400, the fastest track in NASCAR. Well, if you want to talk racing, give me a call, 917-889-8516. We're hoping that Kenny Barr will be joining us again here in just a few moments here, and we'll see if we can get him back on the line. Actually, you know what we should do? I'm all about just surprising people the best that I can. So you know what we should do? And I believe me, this is just an improv thing here. So I'm going to try one of two people here. I'm going to see if we can't get Cliff on the air with us or Pete. And I'm just going to make a random call to them, and we'll see if it actually can happen. They don't know I'm calling, and so we're going to put I know Cliff is up there at Michigan. He doesn't know I'm calling, so let's hope that he doesn't answer in some way. We're going to call him here. We're just gonna call him right now. Let's just see what happens here, and hopefully he'll get on the line here. Oh, here we go. We got a ring. Oh, he's dodging us, guys. He is dodging us. Although he is on his way up there to Michigan International Raceway. Oh, we've got to get his voicemail. We're gonna leave him a message. Are we gonna get his voicemail?
Hello.
Hey, Clifford, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine.
You didn't know this was going to happen, but we called you live, man, because, you know, we were just talking to Roger Curtis a few minutes ago in the first part of the show, and then we talked a little bit about the passing of Jason Leffler. And by the way, this is Tom. You're now live on The Balance, so don't curse me out. Wait till later to do that. And so Kenny had to go. He had something pop up, and we went to break and come back, and I said, you know what? Let's do one of these candid radio calls where you just randomly call somebody and get their reaction. So you're live on The Balance, sir. You have won the phone call from me. Are you up at Michigan, sir?
Yeah, I'm about 5 miles from the track.
All right. Cliff Tanner, Radio Speak Talk. headed up there. Who else is with you? Is Tom? Tweetless Tom with you?
Yeah, Twitterless Tom is with me. Yes.
Twitterless Tom is with you. You know, he's never made an appearance on the ballots, so maybe you should just hand him the phone and let's get him on the air.
Well, he's asleep right now, so.
Oh. So he's not driving, is he?
No, if he was driving, I wouldn't be talking to you. What you said.
All right. Hey, Cliff, I wanted to just give you a call because I know you're headed up there to Michigan, the fastest racetrack up there in Michigan. What are some of the things you're looking forward to when you get up there to Michigan? And if you got to go, you got to drop off. I know you're getting into traffic and stuff, but so you weren't planning this. And don't tell Pete this. He's going to get a call here in just a moment, too. But go ahead and talk with me a little bit about the Quicken Loans 400 and what can fans expect. Of course, the nationwide race today. And hopefully, maybe, Dale Jr. will have an encore out there at Michigan International Raceway this weekend.
Well, it's very possible he can do that. It's, Carl Lindworth put on a heck of a show yesterday for qualifying, and Kurt Busch coming in second, just a few ticks behind him. And, you know, we had, 10 guys, I think, qualify, or 9 guys qualify over 200. Quite not as fast as last year, but I think, with the way the car is and everything going on, I think we may see a faster race than we did last year, if that makes sense overall. But, look out for Jimmy Johnson, really trying to break that streak. He has yet to win here. He's come close to being tired, ran out of gas, whatever may happen. Greg Biffle looking to come out of a slump. He may be popping up there somewhere. And he's pretty good this track. Kevin Harvick, the closer, man, he just – he's either going to be right on or right off, but he could be there at the end. But Dale Jr. is, a lot of talk going around. Dale Jr. is one of the favorites up here this weekend. It'd be nice to see if he could get back-to-back wins at a track, but, at least he'd get a win a year. I guess that would be good enough for him. But it'll be interesting to see. Nationwide, still kind of up in the air. They just now start qualifying right about now, so that's always going to be a good one as well.
Well, absolutely, and I appreciate you being a good sport about talking with us today. I want to ask you real quickly though: is the sponsors and everybody around BK going to put a muzzle on him this weekend?
No, it's what they want, man. I mean, look at him. Everybody's buzzing around and talking about Brad Keselowski. Now, Brad is going to watch it because pretty soon he's going to get nailed from NASCAR or somebody with some of the comments he's going to be making. But, he hasn't, in my mind, he hasn't gone Kyle Busch, so to speak, yet. So, that's what I'm saying. But if he doesn't get his jets cooled off and he keeps heading that direction, he may find himself in a little hot water with Penske, and that's the last guy you want to be in hot water with.
Well, absolutely. And you talk about Joe Gibbs. Joe Gibbs obviously had to deal with another big mouth several years ago. So he absolutely knows how to do that. Well, it's the fastest track in NASCAR. And so I hope you enjoy your stay out there. Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to you. And, we just got some thoughts from Roger and Kenny about the passing of Jason Leffler. Obviously, no stranger to anybody in racing, especially here in Indiana. So, just any thoughts that you may have about the passing of Jason Leffler?
I pray for his son, man. He really loved that kid. I've had the opportunity to interview him twice, and he was just a guy that just loved life, loved racing. It's sad to see go, but unfortunately, when you get in a race car, that's going to happen. You always hope it never happens to you. But those sprint cars, there's going to be some issues coming up. A lot of talk around the track up here in Michigan is, they want, some of these, sprint car type racing to start taking a look at safety features. So, there's a lot of talk about him up here and he was very well liked, one of the few guys that you just couldn't find nothing to hate about.
Well, absolutely, and it was just a sad event. Well, we know you got a boogie. You're probably getting into traffic, and Michigan State Police. You know, I'll say this about the Michigan State Police: cool people, I guess. But they have got to update their police cars and their police uniforms. They're the only state that I've ever been in that's still got the one cherry big light on top with the like the East Coast New Jersey trooper hats that's kind of folded down in the middle there, and absolutely. All right, Mr. Cliff. Well, it's called Jekini again. All right, Mr. Cliff, we're gonna let you go. Now, don't let Pete in on this. He's gonna get a call just like you did here in just a moment, and then we can all blame Kenny for this, because I know he had something coming up. No, we're just giving him a hard time, but he's not gonna be able to make it back. He is communicating with me, so he wants to tell everybody it wasn't intentional. It just something came up. So. Well, we'll let that be. You and Twitterless Tom have a good weekend, and I want you to send some pictures of Twitterless Tom on Twitter. Most importantly, I want to see that buffet that's up there at the media center that Michigan has very well. You know, the pay may not be very good, but the perks are good. And one good thing about covering these races, we get to eat. And you know, we just do our show right there by the buffet line, and then we just grab the guest, unless it's Rick Mears, and then that's not going to happen.
Oh man, you better let that go.
All right, you have yourself a good weekend. Happy Father's Day, and be safe, my friend.
All right, back to you, man. See you.
All right, Cliff Tanner, Radio Speed Talk, getting a. Surprise call, if you will. We're going to take a quick break. We get back. We're going to try one of these surprise calls to Pete, see if that happens. If not, we're going to move on about our day here at the Balance Radio Network. We're the sampler platter of sports. We'll be right back.
Speed Talk is a show about racing, both national and local.
We also give our opinions and thoughts on the happenings of the week.
On top of that, we also include interviews from all tiers of racing.
And don't forget the segment Do You Know, which gives you more knowledge than you can handle.
Really, Kenny? More knowledge than we can handle?
Join Tom, Kenny, and me, Cliff, weekly on Speed Talk as we give you the lowdown on the racing world.
Catch us on The Balance and other affiliates weekly.
Don't forget to visit us at RadioSpeedTalk.com.
Speed Talk, the racing show you won't soon forget.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
I wish you could just shut your big yapper!
We'll be right back.
welcome back to The Balance. My name is Al Marquez, El Presidente. I tell you what, one great thing about us is we give you everything you want about sports and then some. Of course, we've been talking NASCAR all the first hour and our tribute to Jason Leffler as well. Kenny Barr couldn't join us back. He had something come up. We did a surprise call to Cliff Tanner of Radio Speed Talk as well. They're going to be up there at Michigan all weekend with the nationwide race and the Quicken Loans 400. All right, well, I promised you that we'd try to make a call to Tornado Pete, and we'll see if that happens. Pete hasn't been on our show in a while. Well, he was on our show, I guess, the night before the 500, wasn't he? Because he's also our remote engineer when we're out on the road and doing our shows live. Pete helps us out with that. He is also on his way to Michigan or there. So, again, he does not know. Hopefully, Cliff has not tuned him in, and he'll answer, or he won't answer. But he does not know. We're calling him right now. We'll see here. So we'll see if we get Pete to answer.
Hello, it's Pete.
Pete, the man, Tornado Pete LaFuchsia. How you doing, sir?
Not too bad. What's up?
This is Tom for The Balance. We're giving you a surprise call because we know you're up there at Michigan or close to being at Michigan International Speedway. We just gave a surprise call to Cliff. See, and we're all going to blame this on Kenny. Kenny was talking to us, and we were talking to Roger Curtis, and then we did a little bit of talk about Jason Leffler, and something came up with Kenny, and he had to go. So we had to finish up with the race talk and stuff. So I promised our listeners that we would give Tornado Pete a surprise call, just like we did Cliff, to keep it fair. So you're live on the air, so keep it clean. But
can I talk to you at another time? I'm actually taking my wife to the hospital right now. I'm pulling in. So it's not a good time to talk, man. Okay?
Are you being serious, Pete?
Yes. Yes, okay?
Oh.
Bye.
Sorry. All right. Pete, I hope you're being serious, and I hope she gets to feeling better, buddy. Whoa! I don't know if Pete was being serious or Pete was being Pete. And unfortunately, sometimes with Pete, we don't know. Oh, my goodness. Well, let's hope that his wife is okay. Well, see, that's what happens when you do live radio. I'm not laughing. I'm honestly not laughing at the fact that Pete's wife is going to the hospital. I hope everything is okay. I'm laughing at the fact that I didn't know. I swear we did not know that. We're gonna move on. My head's going to be on somebody's platter by the end of the day. Oh, my goodness. This is The Balance. And honestly, guys, I promise you, I'm not laughing that Pete's wife's going to the hospital. That's not what I'm laughing about. I swear I'm not laughing about that. 917-889-8516. Give me a call. Somebody bail me out of this. Somebody help me. We're going to talk a little bit about the NBA Finals. And then coming up, hopefully, we're going to have a call from Jimmy the intern, and we're going to talk IU. I got to regroup, guys. We'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network. My name's Tom Marquez, El Presidente. Don't go anywhere.
name is Turbo. I just wanted to go a little faster.
Yes! 17 minutes! That's a new record!
Let's go, people! Pick it up!
Put all that racing nonsense behind you and start living your life!
I have a life?
I wish I was fast.
Oh no. What's happening to me?
Slow down for a second!
Are you kidding?
I'm never going slow again! This must be my lucky day!
A little far from home, aren't you? Garden snail.
You clearly got the skills to pay the bills.
If snails had to pay bills, that is. I'm Whiplash. This is my crew.
I'm fast, like a shadow.
But shadows, they're not inherently fast.
What shadow?
I can still see you.
With my brains and your speed, we should be destined for greatness.
The Indy 500.
This is ridiculous. A snail cannot race in a competition meant for cars.
Wow. Aren't you just a little ray of sunshine? All of these people, they believe in me.
Those guys are crazy.
Those guys are awesome.
I'm moving so fast, the whole world's going in slow motion, baby.
Whoa.
If you think that's something, check this out.
Hey, you a robot?
Are you radioactive, homie?
Ooh, that's a new one.
Con los terroristas.
All right, welcome back to The Balance. My name's Saul Mark with Sal Presidents. Hey, we're having a great time on a Saturday morning. So glad that you could join us. 917-889-8516. Boy, this has been an adventurous show at best today. I do apologize to Pete LaFuchsia. That was a random call. I thought he was out at the track, and I do want to apologize for that. That was my fault. You know, sometimes we just come up with random thoughts. We don't think about things through, and you never know what's going to happen. You know, when I've been in radio for a good number of years, and we used to do that sort of thing. We used to just call people randomly and play little practical jokes on them. That was not planned. It was not part of the script. So, apologies to Pete LaFuchsia, but we move on. Let's talk about the NBA playoffs. Also, the NHL playoffs are going on, and the College World Series start today. So we've got another hour to talk about whatever you want to talk about on sports. So that's why we're called The Balance. We give you a full balance of all sports, just give you a little bit of a taste. We, like we say, we are the sampler platter of sports. And you might be asking yourself, where are Meet the Makers? Well, we want to hear Meet the Makers. We want to hear about what's going on with Brad, what's going on with Chris. Well, it appears they've separated for the weekend. all in good fun. Nothing bad happened. Brad is in Tennessee at Bonnaroo. Obviously, a big outdoor music festival there. And then Chris is at a farm working in the mountains of Tennessee, I think. I'll have to check on the state. So they will rejoin us next week. And we'll put all of their social media stuff up on our social media, and you can follow them and go and also donate money and to cure the food. And then, yes, Chris is in Tennessee. So guys, we miss you. Brad, have a good time out there in Bonnaroo Outdoor Music Festival. I've heard a lot about Bonnaroo, and I probably am too old to go to that. Although I do know people that are in their 50s that have gone to that, and so, you know, more power to you. I'm looking forward to Dave Matthews, as I said, this next weekend. So, and we'll talk about that more next Saturday, because it's next Saturday, and we'll be doing our show, obviously. Not, it'd be great to have Dave Matthews call in and talk about his sporting. we'll get right on that. We'll get Michelle right on that. Well, it's the NBA playoffs. The Heat, the Spurs. Come on, Spurs. What's going on? You know, here's the thing. It's not what Mike Miller did in his new role as Miami Heat starter that made him a dramatic impact on Game 4. It's what the Spurs didn't do about it. And if you've watched these series, and maybe we're looking at a series just like that of with Indiana, and maybe we'll go seven games. In all likelihood, we will. If I was to put money down on it, I would definitely put my money on this going into seven games. But going back to Game 4, Miller, the notable lineup change for Miami in Game 4, did score a point in 21 minutes, and it didn't matter. The Spurs never punished the Heat for their small ball lineups. That's because their big man didn't duplicate the damage by Miami. What are your thoughts? Miami, the Spurs, going at it in the NBA Finals. We're also going to be joined, hopefully, by Jimmy the Intern here at 10:30, by the way. And we're going to talk about IU going to Omaha, the College World Series. So we do have that on the schedule to talk about. So we will get into that just so you know. So if you do want to talk some IU, if you want to talk some NBA or NHL, give us a call, 917-889-8516. So we'd love to talk with you also about the NHL. That's right. The NHL finals are going on. The Blackhawks and the Boston Bruins. And in a lot of ways, it's a feel-good story that the Boston Bruins got to the NHLA Stanley Cup Finals. And did you see that game? Well, if you did, you're a much younger person than I am. That game did not get over until 1 o'clock in the morning. I think it was the fifth longest hockey game ever in NHL Stanley Cup games, and it finally ended somewhere around 1 o'clock in the morning. So, are you a hockey fan? I know we got a lot of hockey fans up in northern Indiana, especially those that might listen to us on Indiana Talks. We'd like to talk with you about the NHLA Stanley Cup finals. We don't get to talk a lot about hockey here, and again, you know, we're open to it, so we'd love to talk a little hockey with you as well. So, you know, you got my digits, 917-889-8516. Hopefully we can get Jimmy the Intern to join us and talk a little bit about IU going to Omaha. The World Series, College World Series for IU. Love it. Well, I'm an IU fan, absolutely. Absolutely. Love it. Love it, love it, love it. But at the same time, it's a feel-good story. That's my favorite day word of the day. Feel-good story. Well, we're talking about the NBA playoffs. LeBron James strikes back. Hats off to them down in San Antonio. You know, for the past 2 days, LeBron James has had to, you know, basically understand and answer all those tough media questions that's been coming his way about how he hasn't been playing up to par and how he's been playing so badly. Well, you know, he took ownership of it, kind of beat himself up about it. But He made a comeback, obviously, in game four. San Antonio had no answer for LeBron James. And we know here in Indiana the trouble that LeBron James can cause a team if he gets on a roll and he gets on a tear. And you have got to be able to stop LeBron James. Of course, the NBA playoffs going on. Tomorrow's night is the next game, 8 o'clock. And so we'll see what can happen there. And, you know, here's the thing. There's a lot of people that have this conspiracy theory, if you will. Well, the NBA wants it to go 7 games. The networks, they're all in this conspiracy theory that they want to go 7 games. Well, I don't know that's true, but one thing for sure is they're tied up, and so they go back to the Spurs on Thursday. Now we look at some of the media notes, if you will. LeBron James talking about coming up here. LeBron James has scored 3,777 points, postseason points. The ninth most in NBA history, and eighth on the list is Larry Bird. Speaking of Larry Bird, you know, Larry Bird might be making an appearance back here in Indiana with the Pacers. Donnie Walsh says that's open. Hey, what are your thoughts also while we're on the NBA talk here about Jason Kidd becoming the new coach, head coach of the Brooklyn Nets? Jason Kidd. Obviously introduced as the new head coach. And you know, how many of you guys remember Jason Kidd back in his prime with Utah? He was the man. And you talk about somebody that was able to come out there and really make things happen in the finals. Now we call him Coach Kidd. We'll see how he does. Obviously, you got to look at that he's going to command a certain amount of respect in the locker room. So, yeah, what are your thoughts? 917-889-8516. Let's talk about Jason Kidd being the new head coach of the Brooklyn Nets. Still getting some used to saying that. But I don't know. Maybe is it an odd choice? You know, maybe some people would think, why would you pick Jason Kidd? But, you know, Jason Kidd's a leader. He was a leader in the on the court, and he said it himself in a recent interview. He wants to be a great ball player, but he also wants to be a great coach. And I think he could do it. Obviously, he's going to have to surround himself with people and talent. And veterans in the industry, if you will, but Jason Kidd definitely can make it happen. And you know, Brooklyn Nets, they introduced Jason Kidd, like I said, as their new head coach on Thursday, a mere 10 days after he announced his retirement. Interesting. Could he have known? Could Brooklyn have tipped their hat to him? That's why he walked into retirement. Let the conspiracy theories fly. I don't know. While it might be weird to think about one of the greatest, most popular players of his generation immediately transitioning into coaching at, well, the young age of 40. I wish I remember 40. Maybe it's not as strange as it seems. You know, we've seen Jason Kidd on the sidelines before, and I think that, you know, he'll do well. So we'll see how that goes. Heat Spurs. Next game Sunday, June 16th, tomorrow. Talk about the Spurs. Mr. Duncan. Duncan. Makes you want some Dunkin' Donuts, doesn't it? Talk about a little bit about the media notes for the San Antonio Spurs. Maybe. maybe we'll talk about the notes of the San Antonio Spurs. It is what it is. All right, here we go. Tim Duncan. Duncan, number 21. I don't know how much really dug. Out of Wake Forest, obviously went to college there. Remember him playing back in the NCAA when Wake Forest was somebody? The Spurs, I tell you what, the Spurs can beat the Heat. The Spurs, how many people can tell me the five starters on the Spurs? You might be able to tell me about Tim Duncan, Danny Green, Tony Parker. Maybe. And that's if you're really into the game. But the average fan can probably tell you who plays for the Miami Heat. Wade, James. You know, it just rolls off the tongue. The thing about the Spurs is they're a team-oriented. That's the point that I'm trying to make. The Spurs are all about the team. The Pacers were all about the team. The Pacers put the Heat to the challenge, put them to seven games, and really drained them big time. The Spurs have the talent and the ability to do that. Obviously, we talk about Tim Duncan ranking 17th in scoring, 9th rebounding, tied 7th in block shots in the 2012-2013 NBA playoffs. Ranks first in 8 double-doubles in the postseason. Ranks 2nd all-time with 146 career playoff double-doubles. Scored in double-double digits 199 times in his postseason career. Last game, obviously, 20 points and 5 rebounds in 33 minutes against Miami. I was back on the 13th. And I tell you what, you look at Tony Parker, ranks 9th in scoring and 4th in assist in the 2012-2013 NBA playoffs. Tallied 11 career playoff double-doubles and has handed out 10 or more assists 12 times in the playoffs. And has scored 20-plus 79 times in the playoffs. Tony Parker can make it happen. You look at Splitter, Green, Parker, Duncan, Leonard. All of those guys make up the San Antonio Spurs starting five. We're hoping to talk to Jimmy the intern coming up here at 10:30. The bottom of the last segment, talk about some IU. Well, we're going to talk about it or not, whether or not that Jimmy the intern joins us or not. We're going to talk about IU getting to the playoffs. We're going to talk about, well, so you know, if you like baseball, talking about baseball, join me every Thursday right here on the Balance Radio Network from 6:30 to 7:30 live, and then over on Indiana Talks from 9 to 10 for our encore presentation. We talk baseball. We round the bases. We talk everything, you know, from the National League, American League, and what's going on. We talk about the farm system, some fantasy baseball, if we can get that squeezed in. You know, this past week we had a great show. You can catch the archives on the Balance Online, www.thebalanceonline, or iTunes. We had a great show. Talked with Mark Timmons of L.A. Dodger Talk. Talked about the brawl down in L.A. with the Diamondbacks. Talked about that. Obviously talked about some of the dark horses going into the playoffs, after the All-Star break and what teams might be most improved. You know, I still hang on to the theory that the Kansas City Royals are a team to beat. Now, are they going to the World Series? No, probably not. But the Kansas City Royals are playing some darn good ball. You know, over there in the American League, I would not be surprised at all if they get to a situation to where they are in contention for a wild card playoff. Now, of course, you know, there's a lot of good teams in the American League when you look at the Red Sox and you look at the Yankees. But the mere fact that the Royals have gotten there. You know, they're no longer rebuilding. They are now competing. And not only are they competing, they're contending. And so, you know, I talked about this here on The Balance, and I talked about it on The Hot Corner. And, you know, if you remember, $2 Bill Josh said to me, he's like, man, are you crazy? The Royals? I'm just telling you. We don't talk a lot about the American League. You know, some of the other teams in the American League. Obviously, the Angels aren't doing anything this year, which really surprises me with who they have out there. So, you know, you look at the Yankees and the Red Sox right there at the top. Chances are one of those two teams will be in the World Series. And what a great How great would that be? How great would that be if, as we follow along after the Boston tragedy, if the Boston Red Sox get to the World Series, the Boston Bruins win the Stanley Cup, and the Patriots get to the Super Bowl? Now, let me tell you, I'm a Colts fan, diehard Colts fan. I'm not cashing in my Colts fan card. But from the aspect of a – I'm going to use it again. I'm going to try to make it the last time I use it today. A feel-good story. How great would that be for that city? Of course, the odds of that happening are very, very slim. Speaking of the Patriots, we want to talk about Tim Tebow. That's right. Tim Tebow is a Patriot. Well, on paper. He's still got to make it through. I guess he's still got to make it through training camp. He's still got to prove that he can play football. How many of you guys think that Tim Tebow has gotten maybe a rough draft? Just gotten a shaft, maybe, from the media. We'll see what happens. Next chapter of Tebow Mania to be played out New England Patriots style. And he played at the team's minicamp on Wednesday. Not very many reporters, not very many questions. They left us media guys to our own demise to talk about Tim Tebow all we want. But Tim Tebow isn't answering any questions. And the media sure as heck isn't there because they're not welcome. I think if there's one organization that really just clams up for the media, it's the New England Patriots. Obviously, Tim Tebow has a non-guaranteed two-year deal and sits third on the quarterback depth chart behind Tom Brady and Ryan Mallett. That means Tom Brady, something's going to happen to him. We know that isn't going to happen unless it's, you know, he gets struck with the typhoid or gets something really bad that keeps him from being on the field. And then you got Ryan Mallett, which is really, and I'm probably saying his name wrong, Mallett, is next in line. So let's look at what position Tim Tebow might play. Halfback, fullback. I don't look for him being in a position that he has to hit people. There's just something that tells me that Tim Tebow isn't the guy that they want hitting. So you look at some of these other positions that Tim Tebow could play. And position that he plays, he's not going to have the media buzz, if you will, that he's had in the past. And, you know, here's the thing. The offensive coordinator out there at New England was the guy that brought Tebow to the Broncos. And let's face it, a lot of people know that the New England Patriots see deeper into players than what a lot of other people do. Obviously, the Broncos wish him well, and I'm sure that at some point they'll get to meet Tim Tebow. Will he get any play time? I mean, I don't know. We don't know. We don't know what kind of role he'll play. First of all, we don't even know if he can make it. I mean, will it work? You know what? Well, I mean, maybe there's not a better mentor out there for Tim Tebow than Tom Brady. Where's Tom? Is Tom Brady going to pull a W.C. Fields? Get away from me, kid. You're bothering me. Going on in the locker room. Hey, Brady, can you work out with me? Will you work out with me, Brady? Get away from me, kid. You're bothering me. Is that what's going to happen? Or maybe we'll see a side of Tim Tebow on the field. Now, you know, I admire his faith. I follow that same line of thinking. And I think a lot of people maybe are a little shunned off by his faith. Bravo, off the field, on the field, Tim Tebow's a stand-up guy. But is he a good football player? There are times when we would say, no, he's not a good football player. But look what he did in college. I mean, you don't just get to be on Heisman Trophy row. You don't even get to be considered for a Heisman Trophy unless you're the best of the best. So, yeah, he can play football. And going again, maybe Bill Belichick sees something in him that the rest of us don't see. I don't see it. I don't know. I mean, all I do know is it's kind of a win-win situation for New England. If it works, great. They've got themselves a pretty good player. If it doesn't work, they just cut him. Not really eating any money. Not really cutting into the salary cap. I don't know. Maybe it is a good idea. You know, some reasons maybe why it would be. I mean, we know for a fact Bill Belichick loves to maximize his talent. If you remember right, this is the same coach who turned former starting wideout Troy Brown. Troy Brown, into a very, very effective defensive back with New England secondary. When it was riddled with injuries, if you remember right. What about the tight end that was with New England? Mike Vrabel, yeah, the former linebacker. Caught 12 passes in his NFL career, all for touchdowns. Belichick, he can see into the soul of football players, so we'll see. Josh McDaniels, you know, I was just talking with you to you a little bit about Josh McDaniels, and he's the one who brought him over to the Broncos, the Patriots offensive coordinator. Of course, in Denver, didn't get much of a chance to deploy Mr. Tebow. But if you remember right, McDaniels traded up to get the first round of the 2010 draft while running the Denver Broncos. Before he got fired. Tebow, did you cause Josh McDaniels to get fired from the Broncos? I don't think so. But I guarantee you one thing. Josh McDaniels was the voice and Belichick and other key New England personnel. Say, hey, bring my boy Tebow over. If it doesn't work out, I think Bill Belichick's going to be giving Josh McDaniels the stink eye. I don't know. But clearly people see something in this former Heisman Trophy winner that – you know, made him such a pricey NFL investment. And given the lack of established wideouts in New England, there you go. Maybe that's where you'll see Tim Tebow. Maybe you'll see him on special teams. And here's the thing. I don't know that there's a lot of pressure. I mean, this is win-win for New England. I know you Colt fans are saying, don't talk about New England. We're going to be starting the season. Don't talk about New England. I'm talking about New England because it's the balance. We talk about everything. It's a sampler platter. You don't have to eat on everything on the platter. You just have to sample. Tim Tebow is a story. It's a big story. But there is no pressure for New England. Tebow led the Broncos to the AFC West crown in 2011. Ironically, ended by the Patriots in the playoffs. And they just pushed Tim Tebow into the lineup. And he did pretty dang well under pressure. Maybe another reason that it might work for New England is Tebow's pretty familiar with the New England Patriots. Especially being over there with the Jets. And so, you know what? Also, backup quarterbacks in Foxborough have done well after being coached by Belichick in 3 years. I mean, for years, I'm sorry. So maybe in 3 to 5 years, we'll see Tim Tebow leading his own team. You won't see Tebow breaking any huddles out at New England. You can be assured of that. So if you're the fan that says, Tim Tebow's back! Tim Tebow is the man! The quarterback for, he's gonna get Tom Brady fired. You're nuts. You're just nuts. And you're just showing your stupidity. 917-889-8516 if you want to chime in on Tim Tebow. If you want to talk about the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs. We're hoping to get Jimmy the intern on here in just a few moments. I'm not going to make any surprise calls. You don't have to worry about that. Maybe we get Kenny Barr back on. Maybe I should do a surprise call to him. No, I won't do that. In all reality, I did just get a text. Do you want me to call back? So the answer is yes. Call back, Kenny. So we're just gonna reply to him. Yes, call back, Kenny. We'd love to talk with you. See, this is how much I bring you guys in my world. But we also are hoping to have Jimmy the intern on. I know he's traveling. He's got some phone reception issues. So he is also bringing you into my text world here. He also is going to try his best, his darndest to call in. But either which way, we're going to talk some IU baseball. How awesome is that? It's fantastic, especially if you're an IU fan. But even if you're not an IU fan, to see a team to get to the College World Series and to shut out Florida State in their home ground. If you know anything about college baseball, Florida State. put this in perspective. It's like the Yankees. It's like closing out the Yankees for the first time ever to go to the World Series. We're talking about all of that when we get back right here on the Balance Radio Network.
It's Red Bull with the big ass frog, and like Bruce Lee, I got the clout, yeah. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. I work out. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. I work out when I walk in the spot. This is what I see. Everybody stops and staring at me. I got passion in my pants, and I ain't afraid to show it.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Wow, did you see that nice set on her?
Yeah, I sure did.
Guys, hello?
Nothing like a fresh set of rubber speeding down the backstretch.
Man, you gotta love the smells of racing.
Speed Talk. That's what you'll get with this crew.
Check us out, radiospeedtalk.com.
Speed Talk, where you can hear all about all genres of racing. We'll include great interviews and opinions. Catch the gang on your local affiliate. Checks for times and listings.
Check out all there is to know at radiospeedtalk.com.
General Zod. I have journeyed across an ocean of stars to reach you. Your world has sheltered one of my citizens. He will look like you, but he is not one of you. To those of you who know of his location, the fate of your planet rests in your hands. To Kal-El, I say this. Surrender within 24 hours, or watch this world suffer the consequences.
You will not win. Forever you and you say. We will kill a million more.
I won't betray them.
You already have.
Tom Marquis, El Presidente. It is so good to have you guys along. That's right. We get to play that at a time not in basketball or football, but baseball season. Joining us is Jimmy the intern, as well as welcome back Kenny Barr. Kenny, you know what? You know how to cause destruction. No, I'm just kidding with you, buddy. I hope everything turned out okay. And welcome back. Are you okay? Everything good?
I'm okay. Not everything's good, but the next time we sit down and have a cold beverage or a dinner together, I'll tell you the story because it'll probably take about 25 minutes.
Sounds good. And I look forward to that. I really do. Jimmy the intern. Hey, buddy. Welcome back, stranger. How are you?
Long time no talk. Doing well. Glad to talk some IU baseball. I'm glad I was able to get on the show. I wasn't sure that would be doable. I'm actually sitting at work right now hoping that nobody comes up and asks me to do anything.
Well, that's why they call it work, buddy. Welcome to the real world.
Yeah, I'm just glad I was able to be on the show.
We love you on, Jimmy. We love you being on. Let's talk about IU. Its first trip to the World Series, in the fashion in which they did it, incredible. So talk with us about IU baseball for the first time in its school history, making it to Omaha, Nebraska. The College World Series start today.
Tom, before this year, IU had won a single postseason game in its history as a baseball program. It's the oldest varsity sport at Indiana, and they'd won one postseason game until this year. They've won five this season. They beat a couple nationally ranked teams in their own regional. Austin Peay went down twice. They managed to beat another team a third time in walk-off fashion, managing to top Valpo with a two-run walk-off homer after trailing by three runs in the ninth. And then they go down to Tallahassee and thump Florida State once, beat them in a close game a second time, and made them look bad. They put double-digit runs on one of the best pitching staffs in the ACC twice and managed to find their way here. I heard someone talking earlier about IU baseball as a Cinderella team. Aww. And there's a friend of mine on Twitter who makes a really good point. Now, that's only accurate. Excuse me, I'm coughing up a little bit.
Oh,
that's only accurate if Cinderella...
Go ahead.
That's only accurate if Cinderella brought a bazooka and a couple semi-automatic weapons to the ball, because Indiana might have the most potent offense left in the field.
Well, and I tell you what, how excited it is for IU fans. And, you know, the calendar might say June, but it's IU and Louisville for national championship. Mr. Kenny Barr, any thoughts on IU or anything you want to talk to Jimmy about concerning IU baseball?
Well, a little bit, and it's probably bragging about my hometown, but one of the big surprises that's done IU well is the left-handed freshman from Fort Wayne, Will Corson Carr. I watched him in high school a little bit, and I'll be quite frank with you, I missed it. I didn't think there was that much baseball talent there. He was good, yeah, but I didn't think he was that good. I think the coaching staff at IU apparently has really helped him blossom and become a stud in college baseball. And everybody, I've been listening to some of the talking heads and stuff. Normally don't follow college baseball because most of my teams that I follow in other sports you know, we're up north. We don't play 800 games a year like the guys south of the Mason-Dixon line. So whoever plays IU, and I know Louisville's got them first, are probably in trouble because they've caught a team hot at the right time. And we've seen professional teams win championships that were an eighth seed recently a lot because they have just gelled and the chemistry hit and they played hot at the right time. So I'm looking forward to seeing IU get the maybe win this whole shooting match.
Go ahead, Jimmy.
No, I'm totally down and on board with that. I mean, IU played Louisville three times earlier this year. They took two of those games, and that was really the series that put them on the map. They beat Florida additionally, and you're totally right with them being hot at the right time because they opened the season as one of the best teams in the country. It took a while to get some national attention, and then they had a swoon in the middle of the season. They dropped a few games in Big Ten play. People got worried. Tracy Smith said his club wasn't playing good ball. They turned it around, and ever since then, they've been the team that they were to open the year. And if they can just carry that through the College World Series, I think you're exactly right that they've got a great shot to win this so-called shooting match because they've got the biggest guns in the fight. They've got so much offense. It's going to be hard to beat if they can't other teams get those guys quieted down.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, a lot of people, and you made it dead on, a lot of people are calling this the Cinderella team. Maybe it's just because IU baseball has never been there, but they really do have some really, truly talented players on the IU baseball squad. Obviously, a magnificent field out there that has been redone, and really, when you look at the IU baseball field, in a lot of ways, it kind of looks like a AAA, AA baseball field.
Yeah, and it's the first one I've ever seen with artificial turf, not only for the grass, but for the dirt on the infield. There are people who weren't used to that. There's no dirt. It's just a different color of field turf. And there was one time earlier in the season when it was raining, and there was a team in who was not used to it. And they slid past second base a couple times. It was basically like being on a slip and slide out there. But the on-field amenities a little different, like we said. But the stands are something that seats probably about 3,000 people. You can get it up to standing room only and get beyond that. And it's been a packed house pretty much all year. People have really embraced the squad down in Bloomington. We've got a great stadium to do it in.
Well, absolutely, and I know that stadium was made really in part by Scott Rowland, and those of us that are from here in Indiana and are Cardinal fans or Red fans, for that matter, know Scott Rowland very well and his love for IU baseball, and you do a lot with the girls' softball team as well. Do they play there, too, as well, don't they?
Well, they've got a different field that
Moore
actually managed to get some money together. It was a joint opening with Bart Kaufman Field and Andy Moore Field, but both Diamond Sports opened up brand new facilities this past spring, and it's been a boon for both programs. Both coaches are really excited about it.
Well, I tell you what, one thing about this team also, and I promised my listeners earlier I wouldn't use this word again, but because I've used it so much during the show, but it also is another feel-good story with Indiana baseball. And you got pitcher Ryan Halstead, who's the kind of the joker of it all, and that's his words. And Aaron Sledger's a pretty messy guy. And Dustin Maluth is pretty serious. I mean, Aaron is pretty serious, and Dustin is pretty laid back. The thing about it is all three of these guys get drafted to the Minnesota Twins. Even more so, these guys, the way I understand the story, are also college roommates, but also have known each other pretty much their whole life.
Yeah, it seems like Minnesota kind of got a package deal going on, and hopefully that's not going to be a distraction for these guys. I know it's been addressed, and they talked about the fact that they're excited to be able to have that opportunity. The question will be if they actually go out and do it. Minnesota may have found themselves a gambit, maybe just trying to get all three of these guys on board. It wouldn't have been as likely, I think, if they had gone after one or even two. But all three guys are going to have to think pretty long and hard about it because they've got some nice money coming their way if they want it. And I don't doubt that all three of those guys can play in Major League Stadium someday.
Absolutely. Kitty, anything for Jimmy?
Yeah, but it's kind of an unfair question. I know at one time the single A affiliate was, again, I'm bragging about my hometown, Fort Wayne. Who is the, do you know the chain of command as far as the minor leagues in Minnesota now, or where these guys might end up single A ball next year?
I think they'll be playing if they choose to go in rookie league ball, actually, which is even a separate, it's low A ball, which is a different thing entirely from most of the minor league teams that I'm familiar with. They're probably going to be out in the Boonies in the Pioneer League or something like that, so I'm not totally familiar with those squads.
Well, there's several systems that don't even bother with the – and you're probably right. They'll probably end up in a rookie league, but I've seen scenarios where these guys with college experience and national exposure and TV exposure end up at least low A instead of high A and stuff like that. I just kind of wanted to see it maybe if I didn't have to drive like 3 miles to go watch them play because I'm lazy and do that kind of stuff.
Unfortunately, I don't think they'll be playing with or against the Tin Caps this year.
Well, not this year, Nick, I was thinking.
Well, the Tin Caps are the AA affiliate for the San Diego Padres now.
Yeah, well, so the single A, the high, it's actually low A.
Oh, really?
I
apologize. For some reason, I thought the Tin Caps were the AA affiliate.
Well,
I could be wrong.
The stadium is beautiful. It holds 7,500, and that's one of the best minor league stadiums in the country. But no, they're just a single A team, and quite entertaining for the 20 to 270,000 people that occupy the city of Fort Wayne.
Absolutely. We're talking to Jimmy, the intern. He normally joins us during basketball and football season. Have a great opportunity to talk with him about some college baseball. The College Baseball World Series start today out in Omaha, Nebraska. Jimmy, so we look at IU Louisville. Let's look at this actual game, and let's branch away from all the talk and all the great stuff. IU made it. We get it. They're there. Now they're there. They have to play ball against a very good Louisville team. How do they do it, and how do they move forward to become national champions?
I'll do it the way Tracy Smith does it, which is to say they've got to do what they do, and they've done it against Louisville twice out of three times earlier on. They're going to have to not be complacent this time when they play them, and I don't think that's going to be an issue because it's the College World Series. Both these teams are outsiders. Neither of them have a tradition of College World Series success or even appearances before this year. Louisville's only done it once before. IU's never done it before. So we're basically on familiar territory, and the only thing we have to go on is the way they played each other earlier this year. IU's going to need some runs. They're going to need to get tally marks on the board and keep them coming because the pitching has been strong, but it's been the weak point. Just taking a look at the box scores from a series of games, they've had a tendency to let teams get back in it. So they got to put their foot on the gas pedal and keep on going because it's a long nine innings, and Louisville's got some bats of their own.
Well, absolutely, and Louisville is the first school in one season to ever have a men's basketball national title, a woman's runner-up, and a BCS football win. So, a lot going on for Louisville. 8 o'clock tonight, Omaha, Nebraska. I believe it's on ESPN2. We're talking with Jimmy the intern about IU and their magnificent appearance in the College World Series with aluminum bats, which we'll save that for another conversation because these guys we already know have been drafted into the MLB. A lot of them have been, and they play with wooden bats there, but yet in college they play with aluminum bats, and that's a big difference. So we'll see how that goes. But we're definitely going to be watching them as we move forward. Well, we're talking to Jimmy, the intern, and I know that you're at work and you're just we're on borrowed time right now with you. Real quickly, give us a preview of IU. Will these spanky new uniforms that they have, and by the way, pretty sharp, and I love the different flavors that they could go throughout the season, the Indiana flag and various different helmets, but pretty swanky, if you will. But will that actually make a difference when it comes to IU football this year?
It'll make a difference in how entertaining their helmets are to look at. And beyond that, not really. But the kids want to wear them. Like you said, I'm a fan of them. They've got a chrome face mask on one of the helmets. I'm okay with that. They got the old school block eye for the older school fans. You mentioned the state flag. And then there's an update where there's a red stripe down the middle of their white helmet. There's just a whole bunch of good stuff going on. And I think the football team should have the actual players to match what they're doing with the uniforms this year.
Well, you know, I know IU football team has tried to get something going over the last few years. When you look at the preseason going into this year, and you look at last year IU football, you know, we were excited there for a little bit, and then it just kind of poofed away like a sandstorm. So, thoughts on IU football this year? Is it going to be the same old, I guess?
I'm going to say my prediction for records is going to be 8-4 in a bowl game. I think they have a chance to win 7 games at home and steal 1 on the road. I think we're looking at the best season probably since the Mallory era. You can put that in the book.
So you say bowl game, but you don't think it'll be a BCS bowl, or do you?
No, I don't think so. I don't think it's going to be a BCS bowl. They're going to need to kind of like Notre Dame had last year to pull that off. And, you know, that being said, I think they've got a good chance, considering what they did last year and considering the schedule this season, to steal one against Ohio State a little later on. The Buckeyes could be undefeated going into their penultimate game of the year. It's going to be at Buckeye Stadium right before they play Michigan. It's got some trap game potential. If they're 10-0 and Michigan's next week for a national championship game appearance, I think IU could get overlooked depending on how they look going into that game. Now, that being said, I don't think they're going to beat Ohio State. I think they've got a better shot than anyone else would have ever thought they would have had. And just looking at it, I'm willing to say right now, if this team does not make a bowl game, the season is a failure. These guys have the talent to easily win 6 bowl games.
Well, if they don't make a bowl game, are we going to have a new coach?
I think that's not totally out of the question, depending on how they finish. If it's another 4-win season, we're going to start hearing some whispers, but I really don't think that's going to be an issue. I'm very bullish on the way that this team has come together, and Kevin Wilson has these guys firing a little bit. I think this is the best shape the program's been in years. So even if they don't manage to come across that needed 6th win to get to a bowl game, I think Fred Glass likes the progress he sees. Wilson will stick around at least one more year.
Talking to Jimmy, the intern, talking some college baseball, college football with us. And I'll give the last word and last question to Kenny Barr. Kenny, do you have anything for Jimmy before we let him go?
Did I hear you say that you think they had a legitimate shot at Ohio State?
I think they've got a legitimate shot at Ohio State in that Ohio State will not be taking them as seriously as Indiana will be taking Ohio State. And the fact that an inferior team took the Buckeyes to the final possession last year with a 52-49 ball game. Anytime Ohio State gets its defense rung to the tune of 49 points, they've got my attention. I'm sure OSU is paying attention as well. But IU had the best passing offense in the Big Ten last year. I think it's something to shake a stick at.
I think it's a lot of very interesting preseason optimism. I like to share your optimism, but it's been so long since they've really had a good team that it's. I guess I'm into the show me mode. I'm a diehard IU fan. I don't care if it's synchronized swimming or basket weaving. I want IU to beat whoever they're playing against and stuff. But the football program just struggling. And Kevin Wilson's a great coach. I think he'll get it turned around, but it takes an awful long time to turn on a college program. So, and a lot of people say that Alabama and Ohio State are going to be in the next championship already, which I think that's a little bit premature too. But we'll see. I hope they do well.
And that's that here, Tom. I'll finish with this. You asked me if I thought Kevin Wilson had a chance to be shown the door next year. Mm-hmm. I think that there's a legitimately better shot of him leaving IU for greener pastures after doing a phenomenal job this year than there is him getting fired at the end of the season. I'll put it that way.
Well, guys, that's going to have to do it. Jimmy the intern, thanks for joining us. And we'll talk to you again soon, and hopefully again about IU baseball. But definitely when football season gets going, we're definitely going to be having you on a more regular basis. Jimmy the intern joining us. And where can people find you at on Twitter and wherever on social media?
You can just follow me on Twitter, at JPCIV. I will be calling the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Game tonight on IU Sportcom. You can find it on iusportcom.com, and you can check out my written work there as well.
Absolutely. Jimmy the intern. Jimmy the intern joining us to talk a little bit about IU baseball. Kenny Barr, I'm going to give you the last word. We are out of time. And I know we've lost our stream, but we certainly have it up on the record mode. So go ahead, Kenny. Well, I'm going to give you the last word today, buddy.
Well, I don't know if I have a whole last word or not. So find me on Twitter, KennyBarr52. I threw a question out there about 2:30 in the morning when I couldn't sleep about short track racing. And if anybody remembers the old Australian pursuit races that we used to have back in the 70s and 80s, and see if anybody can come up with any memories on those. So that'd be interesting to hear from people across the country about that. And I appreciate you having me back on. Kind of a bizarro situation where I had to hang up and go. So yeah, a great day, Tom. We'll talk to you later when we get back in the state of Indiana.
Absolutely. Kenny Barr, Radio Speed Talk. We lost him earlier, and he took time to join us. And I know we're on record mode here, so remember, don't drink and drive. And happy Father's Day to all the fathers. We'll see y'all next week, well, actually Thursday, right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Watch this side-by-side battle. Harvick and Leffler for 11th.
They're just beating and banging herself all through these corners. Look at this. He's trying to push them off. Damage on the left front of Jason Leffler's car.
Yeah, give a call to Jason Leffler and Eddie Pardue. Leffler started back in 18th spot on the track where it's very hard to pass. He is now knocking on the door in the top 9, running in 10th position.
Good job, Losey. You deserve this, bud. We're going to victory lane. Great job.